This is the Dill Dorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name's Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist and blogger, sex educator, speaker, all sorts of different fun things. I write for magazines and for my blog, girlyjuice.net, and various other places. And I'm going to try to improvise my bio every fucking time we do this, and I'm always going to get real rambly, and it's just going to be a signature part of our show, which is one of our many fun shticks.
Excellent.
Who are you?
Branding.
Consistency is very important.
I'm Bex, and I'm a Virgo, and I still have it written down. Bex, I'm a sex educator and a blogger, a non-binary queerdo, a masochistic pup, and a flirting fetishist, and a Hufflepuff. I love video games, ice cream, and leather, and I refuse to admit it's not 2007 anymore.
But Bex,
what?
It's 2016.
I don't care.
I need you to understand.
Have you seen how I dress? Do you know?
Yeah, it's a good look. I mean, speaking of how you dress and how you present yourself, ooh, listen to that segue. Good segue that was. We're going to be talking about
segues get extra good when you call them out for everyone to hear. That makes them better.
Segues so gay. Can I just start calling segues so gay and just see if anyone notices?
People will notice.
They'll be like, that's not how that's pronounced. And I'll be like, you don't even know what I'm saying. And then I'll jump on a segue and just float away.
Do you have one at your disposal?
No, and they don't float either. It's fine. Okay, you need to stop texting a cute boy because we're recording a fucking podcast.
Okay. But...
Okay, right before we started recording, Bex made me stop texting cute boys because we were going to focus up and do this fucking podcast. And then Bex is still texting a cute boy.
I am not. Look at my hands.
You know what? Knowing you, you're probably doing it with your labia somehow.
I don't think I could. I don't have
messy.
A possible labia. That is
you're
not.
You're going to have to stick that in a bowl of rice afterward. It's just, it's not going to be
oh dear.
Wow, okay, I did such a good segue and then I just pivoted all the way away from it and I wasted a perfectly good segue. It's lost to time. Just like gender roles, am I right? Alright, today is all about gender. Gender roles are the only bad kind of role.
Yeah.
Do you remember we went to see... This is a tangent, but do you remember we went to see that stand-up comedian last week? And she was saying that everything that's a role is amazing, like bread rolls
yes.
and like... And I was just thinking, like, nobody's gonna fucking say anything about gender roles right now? Seriously?
At, like,
a feminist comedy
yeah.
show?
Yeah.
I'm very chatty today. I don't know what
it's
happened.
It's okay. What people don't know is that it's 11 o'clock at night. Well, it was 11 o'clock at night when we decided to record this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were supposed to podcast in the morning and other things happened. Namely, a cute boy asked me to do something. So, sub life. I dropped everything. but we sat down at 11 o'clock at night, which is kind of late to be recording a podcast, and then talked for 45 minutes. And now we've started. So
there were a lot of stories
that
needed
definitely,
to be told.
We're definitely in a chatty mood tonight.
We needed to live update each other on our sexting as it was happening. That was very important.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into gender. And I do want to preface this by saying that it is a bit of a weird topic for us to be tackling because one of us has a lot of gender feels and one of us not so much.
Yeah.
So I'm a cis lady. I have always identified as cis. I present very femininely and identify as femme. So, I don't want there to be people out there being like, why is this lady talking about gender stuff? She doesn't know anything, which is true. I don't know anything. But we wanted to talk about gender because it's something that I think about a lot in terms of, like, my partners and my friends. Like, Bex, for example. It's not a huge consideration in my own life because I'm cis, so I have the privilege of not having to think about it a whole lot. I just wanted to float that out there up front.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's important. That said, you are one of the two most supportive people in my life of my gender. Cis people, at least. Not that non-binary people and trans people don't count, but, like, they get it, and I know they get it on a different level, mm-hmm. but, like,
right.
Two of the people I'm closest with in my life are both cis, and they're also, like, the most supportive people in my life of my gender. So you say you don't know a lot about gender, but you're also super great at it. And I don't know a lot about gender. I don't know a lot about my own gender. But we're figuring it out, and one of the reasons I really wanted to talk about it is that I kind of thought about these first few episodes as, like, the cliff notes on who we are. Like, even, I mean, mm-hmm. the first episode was, like, this is who we are, but we spent a whole episode talking about our kink identities, because that's some shit that's gonna come up a lot, all the time. It's a thing we're gonna talk mm-hmm. about a lot. And I'm gonna talk about my gender a lot, because I have a lot of feelings about it.
Yeah, and it affects every aspect of your life, and particularly your sexuality, so it's important to lay that groundwork.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it would just be really helpful to kind of lay that down. And, like, so we're gonna get into it a little bit more, but you're super femme, and that's gonna come up a lot, too, and that's a lot about, like, that's a piece of your gender and how you present and everything, so, like...
Yeah, that's true. That definitely also manifests in my kinks and how I have sex and stuff. So,
yeah, that's a good point. And that's, like, a pretty core piece of your identity, too, so...
Mm-hmm.
But before we have this whole conversation about gender, I think it's important to lay the groundwork and talk about, like, what words we use for ourselves and what words we don't use, and, the language we're going to use surrounding gender.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm fine with, like, a lot of traditional feminine terms, like lady and woman. I have, like, a pretty complicated relationship with the word girl, though, because it's really a word that I only want to be called by people who know that I've consented to them calling me that. Because I think a lot of times in our culture, like, the word girl is presented as an equivalent of the word man, or more, like, adult male terms like guy. And that's really infantilizing. And to me, like, I consider that a part of patriarchal culture, that women are infantilized in this way. So, like, I like being called a girl in certain sexual contexts, by certain friends, family members, but it has to be a consensual thing for me. Like, I tend to feel very weirded out if someone who I don't know very well calls me a girl. Especially if it's, like, in that condescending cis dude way that cis dudes do.
Yep. So, I relatively recently switched over to they-them pronouns, I identify as non-binary, but I generally just say I have a lot of gender feels, because that's the best description I got. Non-binary, genderqueer, words like that tend to describe me as well, but, and I'm really finicky, so I'm more finicky about the nouns used for me than I am about the pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like, never felt comfortable being called a woman, like, never in my life. And for a while I thought that was an age thing, but, like, it was definitely obviously also a gender thing. Girl, I guess, was all right, but, like, I'm not a fan of, I tend to just, like, non-binary non-gendered words like person or human or, Kate calls me a bean.
Is there a story behind that?
No!
I don't think that there is. I think I just started
You just started doing
that.
It. and you will, like, take gendered words and beanify them for me, which I love. So if you ever hear that, that's what's happening there. I am a bean.
You're a gentle bean.
I am. am.
When we co-hosted that party together, you were a host bean.
I was a cheer bean once, and you clarified that cheerleader wasn't technically a gendered word, but you felt like it needed to be beanified anyway.
You, sometimes you're a fan bean.
I'm always a fan bean. Although I'll also say fanboy a lot, because that's a word I use a lot. And like people that don't get the bean thing, I'll call myself a fanboy. And sometimes cis dudes do the whole, oh, okay, like the double take. Yeah, and I tend, if I do need to pick a noun, I tend to favor the more masculine ones. Like, I'll, when I'm, like, telling you to do something you should be doing or you have to be doing, you'll say yes, dad, to me.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll favor...
Well, I think that for me that's just a behavior I more so associate with my dad than with my mom.
True.
But, yeah, sometimes you're a dadly figure to me, which is a super weird thing to say, and yet it is supremely true.
Totally works, yeah. But, yeah, so I tend to, if there's a choice, I pick the more masculine one. I'd rather be called handsome than beautiful. Or dapper. Mm-hmm. Dapper was good. I've been called dapper a few times.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, stuff like that. And kind of getting into that, you talked about your femness, but, like, what does your gender look like to you? What do you do to kind of feel most at home in your gender?
Wow. So, I guess, like, skirts and dresses and stuff, and I think, like, a lot of my feelings about skirts and dresses are probably informed by my body shape and body type. I'm on the chubbier side, and a lot of pants I find and shorts and those kinds of things are, like, not really made for curvier ladies, or not flattering, or we're told that they're not flattering, and we're told that that's a bad thing. So, for me, I feel prettiest in skirts and dresses, and it's sometimes hard to pick apart, like, whether things are more about my authentic gender feelings or the gender feelings that are put on me by patriarchal bullshit, but I still do feel really pretty in skirts and dresses, and I like to do my makeup, and I'm a big fan of hot pink lipstick. Right before we started recording the podcast, I was really excited about this new lipstick I bought today, and I showed Bex, and they were like, yeah, they all just look the same to me. Like, they're all just pink. You don't understand. This is an amazing pink.
You have one that has glitter. I know that one. It has glitter.
Yes. I'm proud of you.
It's different.
What about you? Tell me about your gender.
I made the comment earlier, at the beginning of everything in my bio, I say that I refuse to admit it's not 2007 anymore. And I've also been known to say that I've kind of grown into the pop punk skater boy of my high school dreams, in which, I mean, I'm 25 now, and I dress like I would have dressed when I was 16 if I had money. So I really, I'll describe my presentation as somewhere between, depending on the day, either soft butch, which is a word I forget exists all the time, and then rediscover it, go, holy shit, that's what I am! Right! I forgot!
That word, I feel like it's kind of gone out of vogue. Like, you don't hear that as much as you used to.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, so I go from, like, either soft butch to, like, my cat is staring at me, and I can't. I oscillate between, like, soft butch dyke or really faggy gay boy. and anywhere in between with that. I do like really cleavagey shirts, because I love my cleavage.
Which, it's amazing cleavage.
Thank you. which is a thing that I have felt weird about when I'm feeling more mask, and, like, sometimes I can just be like, yes, these are my man boobs, and they're great. These are my very, very masculine cleavage. Isn't it fantastic?
It's like a canyon. It's rough terrain.
Exactly. Manly. And I do bind occasionally, and that's been really fun, too. But there are other days where, like, I'll dress in a low-cut shirt, and then, like, I'll get misgendered, or someone will, like, aggressively gender me, which is a thing people do in the world. And I'm just, like, and suddenly I'm really uncomfortable with the fact that, like, I'm wearing a cleavage-y shirt or something, because I'm like, oh god, I'm being... Like, for my birthday, I wore a Batman dress, which was great.
It's so cute.
It's so fun. It's like, when you twist, the bottom's all swishy, and the femme in the room knows what that means, what that's called, but I don't, so it's a swishy dress.
It's a fit and flare dress.
Sure. That's swishy. That's what it's called. with a tank top top. And
okay, if that's, it if has, that's what you're calling that.
But I went over to, like, I was talking to a stranger, and they were like, oh, are you Batwoman today? And I was like, sure, I could be Batman, yeah. And they were like, no, I said Batwoman. And I was like, I heard you, you were just wrong.
You're a bat fiend.
And, like, it was so weird because until that moment, I had not realized that I was coded as so feminine that day, and my brain was mm-hmm. just like, why would you say something like that to me? Why do you think I look like a woman? And then I, like, looked down and was like, holy shit, I look like a woman! What the fuck? I didn't know! So sometimes that can be, like, really disorienting, but
every time I tell you that you're a bat bean, I just vividly picture a bat eating a bean, and that's not what I mean. Hey, are you texting?
Nope. I would not do a thing like that.
Rude.
Tell me how your presentation kind of changes depending upon the situation you're in. Because I know that can be a really dynamic thing.
Yeah, it's true.
Notice how I just redirected us real quick.
Yep, you did a real good job.
Yeah.
So this is weird. I used to be a tomboy in high school. Like, early days of high school. Yes, the look you just gave me is appropriate. I know. I was, like, really big into, like, jeans and hoodies and t-shirts and sneakers, which those things are great. Those things are not great on me. I don't feel good in those things. But I think I was just, like, so shy and so insecure back then that I think it was just sort of like a security blanket, and I didn't really feel comfortable dressing in a flashier way or drawing attention to myself. So then I got really femmy when I was around 15 and started going really hard in the opposite direction, like really fancy dresses. I went to an arts high school, so like people dressed weird anyway, but I would wear like 80s prom dresses from the thrift store, high heels a lot more often than I do now, like red lipstick almost every day. It was like quite intense. Then when I went on hormonal birth control, as I was coming out of high school and going into university, and that made me really depressed and anxious. And so I started dressing really tomboyish again. Like, it was a lot of just, like, sweaters and jeans. And so it's interesting to me that my mental health really seems to make my gender presentation fluctuate. And it even kind of makes my, not even just my presentation, but, like, how I perceive my gender, because I feel like when I'm happier and in better spirits, I perceive myself as being more like girlish and gregarious, and then when I kind of recede into myself, that to me feels more masculine, or maybe just lacking a gender and lacking vitality enough to even have a gender. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of how I feel it.
That's really interesting, because, like, for me, I think it's a little bit the opposite. Like, being able to present so much more mask, and like I said, I'm presenting now in a way that I always wanted to growing up, and like, so senior year in high school, and for like, for 6 years following that, I was in a relationship that was not great. And by not great, I mean vaguely abusive. And I was not really able to present in a way I wanted to. I felt like I had to look more femme for this person. And like, kind of coming back to that and coming back into that masculinity feels like kind of the way you've described coming into your femininity. In that, like, I feel more like me. Like, I look down and I'm like, this is what I should, like, I feel whole, almost, or, like, like, I am 100% myself when I'm doing that. Like, this is how I'm supposed to look. And that said, like, I do have days where I feel comfortable dressing more femme, or, like, I'll have events come up where I want to get real pretty, and it feels like dressing in drag, and it feels like, you know, getting dressed up in a Halloween costume where I pretend I'm a pretty girl. and that's really fun sometimes, too. Like, I've also had times where, like, when I know I'm going to be near, like, a lot of cishet dudes that I want to impress, I might feel like I have, or that I'm attracted to, I might feel like I have to dress more femme and, like, do that to kind of be perceived as whatever the fuck I'm supposed to be perceived as.
I get that, too. Like, I've been in a phase for, like, the past several years where I'm primarily dating men. But when I was around, like, 16, 17, 18, I was more interested in women. I also just, like, had access to more women around me because I went to an arts high school. So, like, it was mostly girls. And so I had a lot of, like, queer romantic drama around that time that I don't so much have anymore. But I did definitely dress more, like, hard femme, occasionally leaning into androgynous territory at that time. And a lot of my style was, like, influenced by, like, the L word and stuff. Like, anything where I was seeing, like, more androgynous characters. And I think that, like, I definitely notice a difference when I'm in a space now where there's cis dudes. Whereas, like, last summer I was invited to an Equinox party or something that was being hosted by a bunch of lesbians. It was primarily lesbians, and I knew that there wasn't going to be any cis dudes there, and so I just, like, completely dressed differently than how I normally would for almost any other situation. I found myself dressing, like, in brighter colors and in silhouettes that were a bit, like, high fashion, like, over the top, and I was less concerned about looking cool or looking pretty. I more just wanted to, like, look really intense and interesting. So... yeah, cis dudes definitely have an effect on how I present myself.
Yeah. And I think, like, the next thing we kind of wanted to talk about plays off of that, because we're talking about how our gender influences our sex life. And I know for me, I've kind of started to move away from considering dating or sleeping with cishet dudes. Sleeping with, what am I, like, 50? I don't bone cishet dudes anymore. because they make me feel icky about my gender. Because if I'm hooking up with someone who identifies as cis and straight, no matter how supportive of my identity they are, it still feels a little bit like they must see me as a woman to be still attracted to me, you know? And, like, that's not to say I'll never meet a cishet dude that, like, I'm not into. And, yeah, like, sexuality is fluid, whatever, but right now, at this point in my life, it just feels kind of icky. Alternatively, like, the queer dudes in my life and queer everyone's in my life, it's super gratifying to realize that they're attracted to me no matter how I'm presenting. And I have one person that, like, I talk to a lot and, you know, and I sexed with a lot, and they'll, like, he'll use interchangeable words for me and go from calling me a good girl to a good boy and things like that. And it's just, like, knowing that they're attracted to me no matter what is really, really awesome and, like, different from, I don't know, anything else. And, like, yeah, I don't know, I'm rambling now, but I have a lot of feelings
You just reminded me of, our mutual friend Andy, who makes erotic audios, and they're quite fantastic, but a lot of his audios involve calling the listener a good girl as part of a role play. And I think he's done a few where he addresses the listener as good boy, and I listened to one of them at one point because I really like his audios. I like his voice. I've definitely jerked off a lot of times to his audios. But I was just kind of curious, like, if it would have the same effect on me if I listened to one where he was calling me a good boy, or, like, what that would even make me feel as a cis person. And I listened to it, and I still found it, like, titillating and fun, but it was, like, I could feel like I didn't feel like he was talking to me. Like, it was like I was listening in on a conversation he was having with someone else. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel representative of me. So I think it's interesting. Sometimes I like to do, like, little gender check-ins with myself just to be like, oh, am I still a cis femme? Yep, definitely.
Yep, very much. 100%. Yes, okay.
Yeah. But about, like, gender and sex stuff, it's interesting. I think that, like, I'm definitely, like everybody is, influenced by patriarchy to some extent and you know, existing gender roles and stuff. So sometimes I do feel most attractive when I'm feeling very traditionally feminine and very small, and when my partner is, like, verbally and explicitly gendering me that way. But I also find, like, especially playing with other women, I do like to be a bit more, like, androgynous in persona, at least, if not necessarily in presentation. I do like getting a bit more, like, mask and, like, aggressive when I'm topping someone. Oh, I'm picturing someone in particular right now, and she's real pretty, and I'm getting very distracted.
I know who it is.
Yeah, you probably do. Feels. I'm gonna make out with her.
You should. I'm so excited.
Me too.
I'm not even involved and I'm excited.
You can be involved.
I mean, not no.
Was that our first not no of the podcast?
Was it? Oh, there's gonna be a lot of those, folks.
Okay, was that all of our things?
Those were all of our questions, unless you have anything else you want to throw in there about gender. I have so many feelings, I could talk forever.
I did want to actually mention, when I was in high school, I wrote a lot of songs. I still write songs, but in high school I was very intense about it. And I have this song that I wrote when I was, like, 15 called Girly Girl. And it was about my best friend at the time, and the chorus says, I'm no girly girl, could never be, it doesn't make sense to me how you're so pretty. And the whole thing is about how, like, my best friend was, like, super femme, like, she dressed like a 1950s movie star every day, and I, in comparison, felt really butch and really unpretty and unattractive. And so I wrote this song that's, like, almost like internalized misogyny, like, writing off her femininity as, like, shallow and not something I wanted to be a part of. And I think, like, when that friendship eventually ended, like, it was a long-lasting and great friendship, but I think it was sort of toxic. And one of the ways that it was kind of toxic to me was it made me feel, it kept me stuck in this place of, like, femininity is shallow and frivolous. And, you know, I could have worked through that without having the friendship end, but the fact that the friendship ended really kind of forced me to realize that and really sort of freed me up to be more feminine without feeling gross about it.
I think that's really interesting in the way that you said, like, being around her made you feel more butch, too. Because I feel like that happens to me, but in a positive way. Like, our friend Caitlin is, like, super high femme and, like, does the same, like, you know, old school, like, 1950s dress up and everything. And, like, every time I'm around them, I, like, feel like I get more butch just by, like, being around them. I'm like, I need to offset the femme. and I get that way around you a little bit, too. But, like, your femininity is a little more casual and less, like, super fancy. So, like, I don't feel like I get it as much. But, yeah, I get very, like, when I'm around a bunch of femmes, I'm like, I am the manly man here. I don't know if you know. I must inform you.
Aw, I'm so cute. Glad I'm in my bedroom. I need you here tonight. I want you in my bedroom. Make me feel alright. Alright, we're gonna do Fuck That, Fuck Yeah. Where we talk about something that we're hating and something that we're loving this week, and we're gonna try to keep it on theme with gender stuff. So I will kick things off. My fuck that is body hair removal, and I have such complicated feelings about it because on the one hand, I don't really feel like I'm completely expressing my gender the way I want to if I have body hair. It just feels gross to me in my body. Like, I just don't really feel entirely like myself, and I get very self-conscious about it. The reason that I feel like that's an internal thing rather than a thing that's been entirely imposed on me is, like, I feel that way even when I'm just by myself in my room, or even when I'm spending time around people who I don't care if they think I'm attractive or not. It's just sort of like, it feels like an itchy sweater that I just want to take off, or shave off, I guess, as the case may be. And it's just, it's, like, uncomfortable in a, like, psychological way for me. But shaving is so annoying. I just want all of my body hair to be gone forever. Can you take it? I don't want it.
I could take it, because, I grow body hair in a similar fashion to the 14-year-old boy I dress as.
Sparsely.
Yeah. Like, my leg hair looks like the facial hair of a 14-year-old. Like, there's patches, I don't know what's going on. It's been
there's some Doritos crumbs in there.
They're Cheetos, okay? I don't like Doritos.
Okay, fair.
But, like, yeah, it's, I haven't shaved in, like, a year, and I have minimal body hair. It's a thing.
Take so, mine, please.
Okay. We'll figure that out. Science will catch up one day.
Alright. What's your fuck that?
My fuck that is strangers who get gross about my gender and make a lot of assumptions. Or don't make assumptions but think they're entitled to my answers. Like, I was talking to people recently, that I'd never met, and they just started asking me, like, I made a few comments about having a packer, like, in conversation. I mentioned it in passing. And it's the New York Toy Collective Archer, by the way, and it's the best. Shout out. but anyway, I, like, made a mention of my packer in passing, and they were just like, oh, so how do you identify? And, like, what... Well, you're non-binary, are you right in the middle, or do you... You look like you skew more feminine. And, like, I was like, well, that's a lot of... Oh, okay. and then, like, I wound up saying, I was like, no, you know, I tend to skew more masculine. I bind a lot of the time, but I don't... You know, I haven't done it recently because I accidentally wore my binder for 24 hours last week on the bus ride home from Toronto, which, guess what? You don't do that. Your lungs get mad. But it did. So I'm taking, like, a week off or so from wearing my binder. And they were just, like, immediately after that, in a time when I could be really uncomfortable about my chest since I can't bind it. They were just like, well, you have great boobs, though. Can I say that? And I was just like,
No. Well. No, you can't say that. You can never say that.
I just looked back at them and I was like, well, you did, so.
That's so rude.
But yeah, and it was just weird to have to, like, unpack my gender shit for people that I didn't know. And they, like, the way they approached it, like, it's bad when you approach someone and just make all kinds of assumptions about their gender and throw them in the binary box because you haven't bothered to look outside it and don't know there's shit going on out there. But it's also bad when you, like, these faux progressives that approach me like they're being so revolutionary and they've heard of these, like, non-binary people and they want to know all about my experience. And, like, no, I'm not a museum for you to, like, there's Google. You can learn there all by your lonesome. And it's not progressive.
Or they could pay you for your knowledge and expertise.
I like money. I take money. But, like, it's just not progressive for you to interrogate me about my life and think that you're being accepting or whatever the fuck you are. And that is the end of my rant.
I'm sorry, Bean.
It's okay.
Well, let's turn it around. Let's talk about what we're excited about.
Yes.
My fuck yeah for this week is something silly and fun. Blue eyeshadow. I talked about pink lipstick earlier in the episode, and I noticed that I had written down pink lipstick for my fuck yeah, and I was like, and then I crossed it out and wrote blue eyeshadow.
Entirely
but actually,
different.
Like, I've been thinking a lot about blue eyeshadow recently because I just discovered this one that I forgot that I owned, and it's beautiful. It's by ColourPop, and it's this beautiful, like, turquoisey bright blue, and I noticed that I was really resistant to use it because I have all these negative associations with blue eyeshadow. Like, they're often associated with, like, sex workers in film in a really, like, scuzzy way, and they're used by the character Mimi in The Drew Carey Show, who, like, wears intense blue eyeshadow every day, and she's depicted as really unattractive. And I was thinking about, like, I have all these associations that are supposed to be negative things, but actually are not that negative, and, like, actually blue eyeshadow looks amazing. It's just something that requires a little bit more bravery for me than I would normally have, but I wore it the other day, and it looked fucking fantastic, and I wanna wear it more. Yeah. What's your fuck yeah?
So I also mentioned my fuck yeah earlier, but I'm sticking with it because fuck yeah, I love when people are affirming of my gender during, like, sexy times. and when people, I'm big into dirty talk, which I get is kind of scary and difficult when I also have a lot of feelings about my body. And those feelings change every fucking day. I can't keep up. I don't expect my people to. but, like, it's really, really awesome when someone hears the words I use to describe myself and just seamlessly switches to using those words. And, like, will hear that I'm trending more masculine in the words I use or the types of pictures I take or the things I'm talking about wanting, and they just go with it without, like, while just being able to read me and my body, and, you know, that they take the time to learn that I like the word cunt and I like the word hole, but I don't like the word pussy, and, like, sometimes my clit's my clit, sometimes it's my cock, sometimes, like, I jump around, I don't know. But, like, the people that take the time to really pay attention to that is awesome. And, yeah, like, I once had someone, a cis dude that I had been making out with, I was wearing, like, a skirt and a V-neck shirt, an outfit that would really, really easily be read as super femme. And they looked at me and they were like, you're
like, you feel really, like, you're doing a lot of things to present as more mask lately, and I'm really into it. And, like, little stuff like that, where, like, they see my gender weirdness and like it, and, like, don't just tolerate it, but are super engaged with it, is, like, my favorite thing in the world, and super hot.
Yeah. All right, well, on that vibrant note,
I'm gonna go sexed.
This has been the Dildorks. My name's Kate Sloan. You can follow me online at girly_juice on Twitter. My blog is girlyjuice.net. Bex, where can folks find you?
I am Bex. You can find me at Bex Talks Sex on Twitter and Instagram. You can stop laughing at me. You can.
I'm just laughing because I was like, Bex, where can people find you? And you were like, I am Bex.
I had read a thing, and then we were podcasting, and shit changed. I don't know.
Maybe don't sext while you're working.
I am not doing... Okay, I might be doing a thing. It's fine.
Okay, wait. I have a suggestion. I think that one day we should do an episode where we're both sexting the whole way through, and it'll be the worst episode because we won't be listening to each other and we'll be very distracted.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Great.
I won't publish it. We'll just make it, and then I'll force you to listen to it, and I'll be like, this is why you must always focus when we record.
I'm sorry. Some people are just really attractive. Okay.
Some podcasts are just really important. Hey,
is like this one?
What do you think about that?
It is this one, isn't it?
It's this one.
I knew it. Okay. All right. I'm Bex. You can find me at Bex.
I know.
God damn it. I'm trying to do this thing. I have a few minute window before another text shows up. I'm productive right now. Laugh at me. You fucking suck. I'm Bex. I'm Bex Talks Sex on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Bex Talks. I blog at BexTalksSex.com, BexTalksSex at Gmail. And this podcast is The Dildorks. We're at The Dildorks on Twitter and TheDildorks.com. And you can email us at TheDildorks at Gmail if you have any questions, comments, feedback. We're trying to load up on some questions. Maybe we'll get enough to do like a listener feedback section or something. That would be fun.
That would be so fun. And please, if you have a moment, go rate and review us on iTunes.
It makes us look really good.
Yeah, don't you want us to look good?
Well, we already look good, but...
We always look amazing. 100% of the time.
But iTunes needs to know.
We look so amazing because we listen to our hearts and we present our true genders. And the truth and beauty just shines right through. Something like that. I don't know. Okay.
Gender, folks.
Think. Gender. It's very late. I'm so tired.
Me too.
It's been a very long day. Oh, gosh. Gender. I barely know her.
This is the worst outro. We have to...
Fuck, this is not an outro.
We have to thank the person who does our theme song.
Right. Thank you so much to Protodome for the use of our theme song. It's called I Want You in My Bedroom, and it's on his album Chip Funk. What a great name. He's at protodome.bandcamp.com. You should go listen to his music.
And thank you, Amy, for making our awesome logo at Starboots on Twitter.
She's the best.
She's my fave.
All right. Well, until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. We love you.
Bye.
I want you in the morning. Let's stay with me. I was telling my DM the other day that he should listen to the first episode of our podcast and do a drinking game where he takes a drink every time we say it's fine. Because I don't know if you noticed that, but we said it so many times.
We did, and we're going to continue to, because I say it all the time. I know I do. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine.